Well, tens of thousands of illegal immigrants are pouring across the United States southern border on a daily basis. Yes, it is an invasion of the United States, but where does it start? How does it unfold? Well, the team from muckraker.com decided to find out. Take a look.
In 2023, nearly 250,000 illegal aliens entered the United States every month. Nearly all of these illegals followed the same mass migration trail that starts in Quito, Ecuador, and ends at the U.S. southern border. So, we decided to follow the trail ourselves. Along the way, we discovered secret Chinese staging hotels, crossed through the world's deadliest jungle, embedded with an illegal alien caravan, rode the Mexican train of death, and finally, were kidnapped by the Gulf Cartel, just hundreds of feet from the United States border.
That's part of a brand new documentary from the team at muckraker.com, and I'm joined by the team that put it together, Josh Rubin and Anthony Rubin, brothers, who followed the exact route and the invasion from start to finish, and they join me now. Guys, nice to see you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to see you as well, man. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you. And this is an incredibly hard story to follow. You're going through jungles. You're going through raging waters. This is not an easy story. It's why so few journalists have actually uncovered this story. What made you decide to follow this invasion from the very beginning?
Yeah, so we were I think I've told you this. I came on your show. We actually had a document that said, hey, this is the Chinese plan to get to America. We start in Quito, Ecuador. We go through all these different countries, and then we wind up at the U.S. southern border. And there was just a PDF document that I was sent from a Chinese illegal alien in the Darien Gap. And so that had just been on my mind. It's like, why don't we just go follow the whole thing? I don't know that anybody's ever done that. And so that's exactly what we did. And to my knowledge, we're the first people to do it. There was some other YouTuber who went through the Darien Gap and rode the train of death. But other than he didn't really get into the NGOs that run it or the United Nations plan behind it. And that's what we talk about in the video, like the whole blueprint, the whole plan behind the thing, as well as obviously taking you through the trail. So it's really one of a kind. I don't think anybody has ever done anything quite like it.
Our friend of the show, Michael Yon, of course, former Green Beret, excellent investigative journalist, has really been in the Darien Gap in Panama for a number of months and, of course, cataloging and providing at least routes and passage for individuals to see where the Darien Gap leads to the United States. But you went even further than that and got into some really dangerous situations. Can you talk about, well, give us an example of where you really ran into danger and did you fear for your lives?
Josh, go for it.
Well, do you mean in the Darien Gap or in the entire journey? Because, I mean, obviously we got kidnapped at the end of it. We had to sleep on top of moving trains. But as far as the Darien Gap goes, we crossed through. There's three routes to cross through the Darien Gap. Correto, Copper-Gana, and Akandi. We went through Correto, which is the safest of the three routes. But it's still very dangerous. You know, you can still get a waterborne illness. He ended up actually getting E. coli and Salmonella. Which, you know, could have easily been from, the Darien Gap, drinking some contaminated water. There's people walking around with machetes and guns and rifles, and whatnot. So it's definitely a dangerous situation. And if anything happens to you in that jungle, no one's going to come save you. And it's completely lawless. You know, there's no police or anything like that. So it's definitely a dangerous situation. And another thing, like you could see in the video, it's basically all mud. So if you're somehow get trapped in that jungle, there's a high percent chance that you might get trench foot and die because, you know, you're walking around sludging through mud all day. That's like a big reason like people can't make it through. So, yeah.
Well, and we've seen horrible videos, of course, of bodies just washing up because of heavy rainfall. They can't make it through rivers and waterways in the jungle. So people are dying on a regular basis on this journey.
Oh yeah, we didn't see any on our particular route that we took because it, like Josh said, it's a shorter one. It's the one that a lot of the special interest aliens use, the ones that have a little bit more money because you actually get smuggled into Panama by boat, like on the coast of Panama, and then you walk inland from there. So it's a 2-day trek. But even on that one, because you also have these native guides that take you through. So it's much safer than if you go through Colombia into Panama, which is just, I mean, total lawlessness over there. But even on this shorter trek, we were told that there are bodies in this one, but just right now there were none because it was the rainy season. They had all been washed away. But yeah, man, there's bodies all throughout that jungle. It's pretty serious.
Well, Josh, you mentioned, of course, being kidnapped. I was getting dispatches from mutual friends of ours who were letting me know, oh my gosh, you know, Anthony and Josh, they've just been kidnapped on their trek as they're trying to catalog all of this. And I said, oh my God, I hope they're safe. Thank God you guys were. Can you talk about what happened and what part of this journey you were kidnapped?
Yeah, so it was right at the end of the journey. It was actually exactly a month long. At the very end, we were like, okay, we're going to complete this thing by crossing the U.S. southern border right at the most southeastern point of Texas. So we were walking up this public beach called La Playa Baghdad. It's about an 8-mile walk. We're maybe 3 miles into the walk. And then a truck picks us up. I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version. They basically tell us that if you keep going down this beach, they're going to have some serious problems for you. And then they pick us up in this truck.
They lay out all our stuff. So we got picked up by this truck, and they wouldn't, like, because they wouldn't let us go down to the end of this beach for whatever reason. And we wanted to keep going. They're like, you can't do it, because if you do it, there's going to be troubles for you. Like, but we just can't let you go. And so we get into this truck and they start driving us back. Basically, I'm giving you the spark notes. Like I said, you can watch the whole documentary, see the whole thing, because it's a long story. But we start driving back. They hand us off. And we thought we were just going to, hey, they'll just drop us off at the beginning of the beach. We'll be good. They transfer us into a truck with three other armed men. Okay. Like the first truck, they weren't armed. They basically order us out of the truck. They pulled next to the truck and they start barking at us, like, get out and get into this other truck with three armed men. These armed men pick us up, drive us inland, and then they lay out all of our stuff, like Josh said. And they see our drone and our camera and start flipping out. And again, just to give you the long story short, put us on our knees, take hostage type photos of us. They got Josh pinned up against the truck. They point to my drone at one point. One of the guys points to my drone, holds a pistol to his head. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening right now? They tie up our hands. They blindfold me because I was wearing a bandana. They use it as a blindfold. They didn't have one for Josh. So they pull the hood over his head, like in the back of a car. They shove us back there. There's an armed man sitting next to us. There's two armed guys in the front, and then we just start driving out through Mexico, and they're just making stops. We're smoking pot in the car. They're on the walkie-talkie saying that we're part of an investigación. We're going to see El Jefe. And I keep saying, I'm like, tell us how much money you want. How much, you know, we'll stop at an ATM. I don't care. What do you want? $1,000, $2,000. Like, no, like investigación El Jefe. We're going to see El Jefe. I'm like, oh my God. Eventually the truck stops and we're in the middle of literally smack dab of an abandoned field. Like there's nowhere to run. And I have no idea why we'd be in an abandoned field if they're not going to put a bullet in our head. And so we get out of the, we're ordered out of the truck. And I was like, I don't know what we're doing here, but this does not look good. But what they did is they took all of our electronic gear. They laid it right out in front of us and they start screaming at us because they don't believe that they have all the gear and they want every last bit of our electronic equipment. And they actually didn't have all the gear. We still had our GoPro, which they didn't find. It was like a kind of a hidden compartment in the bag. So if you guys see the documentary, you'll see there's some GoPro footage actually right before we got picked up that they didn't get, which is kind of cool. It's like the last footage that we have from that trip we still have. But anyway, so then they take out a crowbar and they smash everything we have. And they left nothing to chance. There was bits and pieces and they smashed the bits and pieces. Load us up onto a truck and drop us off at the port of entry and basically tell us never come back again. And that's what happened, man. But, you know, two Americans were killed by the same cartel just about a year ago in that same exact area. So, I mean, these are serious dudes, man. And, you know, I think that we were lucky to get out of there with, you know, just losing our gear.
Yeah, I would say so. Let's talk about who you saw on this journey besides the kidnappers. Let's talk about the migrants, the thousands of migrants we see in this documentary walking down the street just like a flood of individuals pouring into the United States. Where are they coming from?
Well, a lot of them were coming from China. When we went down there, you know, this whole migrant trail we got from a Chinese illegal alien in the first place. And as soon as you start off in Quito, you can see like straight from the get-go, there's like, you know, a bunch of, you know, Chinese that are already down there. And as you go up, I mean, it basically confirmed the whole thing for us. Like as you can see in the documentary, there's literally Chinese staging points, hotels that specifically house Chinese illegal aliens going up to the United States. So that's like the first important thing is, I would say, I mean, based on what I saw, like 50%, I mean, I don't want to throw out exact numbers, but a lot of Chinese illegal aliens are coming up to the United States. And the reason why this is important is because, you know, we are like enemies with China. So, you know, you have all these people from China coming up to the United States. A lot of them are good people, but even if it's a small percentage of them that have sinister intentions, you know, that are spies, that are undercover police officers that are coming up, if there's ever a conflict or a dispute between the United States and China, and, you know, you have all these people that are here from, you know, that are spies from from China. That could be,
or saboteurs or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And not only that, and then obviously you have Venezuelans, Ecuadorians, Colombians, people from that part of the world that are already right there, you know, situated next to the gap. And then other than that, you've got special interest aliens, man. You've got Syrians coming up. Syria, that's an incredibly sketchy country. We got no idea who these men are. You'll see a clip in that video of just these Syrian men that are walking up to the camp and all military aged, all wearing the same gear, just marching in unison up to the camp. I mean, they look like they're military. A bunch of people from Afghanistan as well. When we got to Mexico, there were tons of military aged men from countries like Sierra Leone. Everybody and anybody is coming up here, man. So, I mean, you name the country and I'm sure we ran into it.
What about, I mean, we heard quite a bit recently about Hezbollah. Did you run into any that you knew were specifically from Hezbollah or Hamas?
No, but I guess, I mean, no, that would be incredible if we knew specifically that they were from there. However, like I was saying with those Syrian men, I mean, I'll give a little backstory. Like when you guys see the documentary, you'll see that there's one area where I filmed these men walking up to a camp. I don't know how many of you had that were in that group that I filmed, maybe like 10 or so, okay? And I had actually run into this group beforehand, before we actually entered the jungle. And these were all men that claimed to be from Syria. And I met them basically right on the outskirts of the jungle before we had gone in. And these men get off of a boat, right, a smuggling boat to take them to the staging point in Panama. And all these men, again, claiming to be from Syria, all get off the boat. They're all wearing crucifix necklaces. And a lot of them have brand new tattoos that say Jesus. And all the tattoos look identical. So, I mean, listen, this is all kind of anecdotal, but, and then they find out they're talking to me and they're really suspicious. And then when they find out I'm an American, they want nothing to do with me. And they get real hostile when they realize that I have a camera and then I'm filming things. So look, this is all anecdotal stuff, but you tell me why a bunch of Syrian men are getting off a smuggling boat, every single one of them wearing crucifixes, almost like they were trying to cover something up. And some of them have tattoos that say Jesus with this same exact font. To me, it seems slightly suspicious. Let's just put it lightly. Okay. Like they could be covered something up. And even if those guys were nothing, I mean, I'm sure men like them are associated with Hezbollah or Hamas and are coming up here probably today.
Well, there's a long history of people using religion as cover, right? I mean, just go back through, read your history books, right? So you're not wrong in wondering what is going on here with that at all. It's pretty remarkable. What are these people telling you? Other than they're mad to see a camera and they don't want to be filmed, you probably had a lot of interactions with these people coming up all the way through this passage. What are they saying about why they're coming?
I'll say this. It's not the most, you're not hearing these profound stories. I'm sure some of them might have a profound story, but usually it's the same thing. It's like, we want to get to the United States for a better life. You know what I mean? El mejor vida. It's the same thing for most of these people. And then some of the people from China, maybe they'll tell you that they're trying to flee oppression. Clearly with the Chinese, I mean, there's so clearly spies and saboteurs coming up. Clearly, I mean, it's so evident.
There's every person we asked who's Chinese, is there Chinese police living in the United States? Are there Chinese spies living in the United States? Every single person we asked who is Chinese, all of them said yes.
Yeah.
So take that for what you will.
We include a clip in there where we ask a Chinese member, like, are there Chinese police in the US? And he uses his translator. He said, yeah, there are. We didn't even include, there were other Chinese we talked to that we got on video. We didn't put in, there was no place to put it. Documentary was already so long. That confirmed on camera that, like, oh, we asked him, like, you know, are there Chinese spies going up to the US? He's like, of course there are. What are you talking about? So this is openly known. And the other guy, I mean, the people that are coming from Venezuela, for example, it's all the same stuff. And you guys will see in the video that, you know, we want, Biden is promising us a better future. So we're going up to the US. And, you know, not reasons to claim asylum, obviously. That's not a reason to enter the country illegally and claim to be a refugee. But, you know, they'll get into the US and they'll get a court date that's like 10 years out into the future. They'll probably be here forever, even though they don't really have an legal claim to be here.
You, of course, have covered this. And some of the reporting is that many children, of course, are being brought across the US-Mexico border. And, of course, many of these children are being sold off. The child trafficking in the United States is second to none. We're leading that category. Way to go, America, for child trafficking. And many of the reports and videos that I've been seeing lately show a lot of these children clearly drugged with what they, you know, purport to be the father, but probably has no relationship to the children whatsoever. And these children laying there in their laps, drugged. They're not sleeping, they're drugged. And what did you see by way of children? And can you speak to that part of the story?
It's actually a very small part of the video that people might gloss over. We did post it separately on Twitter a while ago, but there is a woman with an infant on her shoulders that is clearly drugged out, passed out. not sleeping, because you could just tell by the way the body's just slumped over and she's like ducking through trees and whatnot. And yeah, I'm sure that is one of countless examples of, that's just one that we saw. But, you know, they drug children and bring them up here. And a lot of times they use them as a way to get through, you know, border security either, because they can claim that it's their child.
Yeah. And to add to what Josh was saying, when we saw this lady that was carrying a drugged out child, and you'll see that in the video, on her shoulders, this lady was darting through the jungle. Like, she did not want to be seen with this kid. And so I actually had to she just darted past. I'm like, oh my God, there was an incapacitated kid in her shoulders. You see that? And she's darting through the jungle, like sprinting. And so I had to actually sprint full speed ahead and get out in front of her, pull out my camera and film her going by. And I barely did. You'll see how fast she's trekking through. And yeah, that's one of them. I mean, you see just like strange looking men that are carrying crying children through the jungle. That's also in the video. Yeah, horrible stuff, man. Horrible stuff. Kids getting trafficked from God knows where and from God knows what country, headed to God knows where, right? And right. Who knows if they'll be heard from again, happening every day.
Putting this documentary together, have you heard from the Biden administration at all? Have you heard from members of Congress who want to use this in some capacity to hold hearings to try to put an end to this? What have you heard by way of official government response?
I don't think anything.
That's a funny quote. You know the answer to that one. Nobody's coming to us. I mean, that'd be great if they want to. You know, even then, even when I released, I've talked to these congressional people, right? These congressional staffers that after I came out with the child stuff, you know, exposing these escorts or moving kids to the airports, that got a lot of steam, right? And they call me up and it's all talk. Even when they're interested, it's all talk. Hey, we're interested in doing something with this. And all these hours of phone calls, nothing happens. I mean, on both sides of the aisle, Democrat or Republican, it's all just a bunch of people talking. And I also, not only are they just talking, I think a lot of times these people that are supposed to be representing us, that are supposed to know what's going on, a lot of them just don't have a clue, man. And on both sides of the aisle. And that's, it's not very encouraging. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's being done in the shadows. And of course, they're always spending their time running for re-election, taking money from all these lobbying groups and special interests. And this is being funded and executed by the United States government, the child trafficking, and of course, and the marshalling of these individuals across the border. I'll get you out of here on this, guys, which is what you say in the documentary. I mean, it is that this is all being executed, carried out with the help of the United States government. I mean, they're coming across the border, not on their own, but with the help of the United States government. Can you talk about those pieces that you saw along the Trail of Tears, as I'll call it?
Sure. Yeah, so the United States is essentially funding its own collapse, is what's happening. That's the really sad part. There's all these organizations that are aiding these migrants up here. It's completely organized. This isn't an organic movement. And then they basically come up here. And also, not only is the U.S. funding its own collapse by doing that, but they're also helping cartel groups, you know, the same cartel groups that kidnapped us, because they get money by smuggling people. So the U.S. is simultaneously helping all these people come here, destroy American sovereignty, and basically help create one-party rule in the United States, while simultaneously helping horrible cartel organizations on the way.
But let me also add this to what Josh said, so that it's explicitly clear how the U.S. is funding this. U.S. is one of the largest funders of the U.N. I mean, if we backed out of the U.N., it would just be a shell organization. It probably would cease to exist, at least not with any real power behind it. So we're basically the largest funder of the U.N., and the U.N., it has its fingers all into this thing, right? They are the ones that are handing out all these maps. We put in the video countless maps that are handed out by not only by the U.N., but by the Red Cross as well. The Red Cross gets tons of U.S. tax dollars. And also donations from U.S. citizens that are thinking that they're doing good, but, you know, they're helping, again, fund this collapse. And that's just one example. You know, all these U.N. staging centers where they give them all these aid and instructions and food packages, send them up here. And so that's just a bit more just like hard, concrete evidence about, you know, how the U.N.'s involved in this. And then just the final note is the overall agenda. People could go read Agenda 2030. They could go read this other white paper called Migration and the 2030 Agenda, where it calls these people agents. It calls, quote unquote, migrants. It says that they are agents of development and that we need to encourage, not stop migration for the 2030 Agenda. That's literally what the UN is saying openly. So, I mean, not only are they handing them maps and encouraging them up here, there's also a larger framework of plan up here. And everybody should read these documents that I'm talking about.
Agents of development. See, here's what happens. We go into your country, we bomb your country in Syria, and then now you're an agent of development when you come into our country and foment change in the United States. Guys, thank you so much for this. an amazing, amazing job, amazing documentary. We'll have a link in the description below for people to go check out the full documentary from Muckraker. Anthony and Josh, thank goodness you guys are safe. Thank you, and thank goodness for the great work that you've been doing. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Very much appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.